Shabbat Shalom. I'm daughter of Yisrael Abel Shamaria Hawkins, and I want to start serving you as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seat for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I am daughter of Israel Abel Mariah Hawkins, and I would like to serve you as the priestess starting very soon. It is a privilege and honor to present the future priestess and priestesses now entering the sanctuary.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I'd like to introduce you the first speaker, and the title of her speech is Do Not Be Afraid. And Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
My name is Daughter
Yisrael Abel.
Onaya Hawkins.
Onaya Hawkins.
And I'd like to serve you forever.
And I'd like to serve you forever.
As a priestess starting very soon.
As a priestess starting very soon.
Now read it. Loud and clear.
I'd like to introduce you the first speaker, and the title of her speech is Do Not Be Afraid. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Do Not Be Afraid. For many years now, Yisrael Hawkins has been warning the world of the soon coming nuclear war that will destroy the Earth in 1 hour. He has been telling us to prepare physically as well as spiritually. So how do we prepare? Let's talk about what we need to do physically. Number one. Be working on your preparedness bag. Make sure you have everything you need to get to the house yard quickly. Number two, take your supplements. Build up your body while you can with molasses, iodine, and buffalo powder blend, just to name a few. Now let's talk about what we need to do to prepare spiritually for the 1 hour burning. In 2 Kefa 3:10 verse 11, it says, But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11. Since all these things will then be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and righteousness? So we see how important it is in this time period to be practicing righteousness. Practice, practice, practice makes perfect. In conclusion, I would like to encourage you to not be afraid, because Yahweh has given us everything we need to overcome, endure, and make it through this 1 hour burning. And I'd like to turn over to the next speaker. Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Noah Hawkins. That was a wonderful speech. daughter of Jezebel Bathsheba, reminded us that we must be ready, both physically and spiritually, for the 1 hour burning that is soon to come. And the time to get ready is now. While Yahweh is still giving us time, I would like to present to you the next speaker, who also has a very important message for you today. Please stand and welcome daughter of Yisrael Abel, Jewel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel, Jewel Hawkins. You may be seated. My title today is, Are You Prepared? This is my booklet, Nuclear War. Is it really coming? The answer is yes. Many prophecies say so. And Isaiah 34:16 says, Search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these will be neglected, for it is written, Yahweh is their shepherd. They shall not want, for his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. This is my preparedness handbook. Sometimes all the prophecies and preparations make me scared. When that occurs, I read scriptures that calm me down and give me peace, like Psalms 91. Verse 1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This means I have Yahweh's protection, because I keep his Sabbath and feast days. Also, Yeshua Messiah said in Matthew 16:18, that the gates of Sheol, the grave, will not prevail against this house. In conclusion, nuclear war is coming. Keep preparing and trust in Father Yahweh. I now turn the program back to daughter of Yisrael Abel for opening prayer.
And with that, I would like to turn it over to daughter of Yisrael Abel, to Zaria.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Tazaya Hawkins. You may be seated. Wasn't that a great start to our morning program? We were reminded to believe and trust in Yahweh completely, so that his mercy, compassion, and protection will be with us during the greatest time of trouble the world has never seen.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us today. Not only us here, but those who are also visiting, seen meeting with us on all different forms of media. Today, we want to share with you that no matter the chaos and the confusion that we see in the world today, we are the great house of Yahweh. We believe that Yahweh is our Father and He is in total control of everything that's going on earth. Do you agree, great house of Yahweh? So no matter what's going on, Father knows it all. Do you agree? Praise Yahweh. So to get our minds going fast, as mine is going already, I want to ask you a question. What is it that the great last day's witness, the one sent today, what is it that whenever he speaks about it, he cries? Sometimes he cries a lot, sometimes not too much. And we say, we love you, and we give him a little bit of a support. Do you know what it is? Shout your answer. Yes. He always cries every time. The four horns, the blood, the sacrificing. And let me tell you what occurred. On 1126, I don't know what the number means. He talked and he shared with us the four horns and yada and the sacrifices and the amount of animals they had to bring in. And all these are yours? Yes, two lambs. So many animals to kill. On 12:17, and of course 11:26, he cried. And we supported him. On 12:17, he's talking about it again. And he's crying. And yada. And the quartet. You know what the quartet? The four. And he's crying. Then on 12:24, he's talking about it again. And he's crying. Why is he crying every time he's talking about the four horns? He understands the death. He's trying to show us, you know, this is to remember everything you did wrong as remembrance. 12:24, he's crying. And you remember, he said, Yada, the Vatican. And he's trying to show us when Messiah came, okay, the blood. So much blood to be on the altar. So many people to die, to kill. Gorging the animals, he said. Then you remember when the man said, when I wash my hand, when Yeshua had to be sacrificed, the same concept of sacrifices. When Yeshua had to be sacrificed, the man said, this is an innocent man. I want no part of this. I wash my hand. You remember that? I want no part of this innocent man's blood on my hand. What did they say? Put the blood on us and our children. You remember that? They said, okay, well, put his blood on us and our children. You see where the world is today? Put Yeshua's blood on us and our children. So anyway, comes 12:31, and the great overseer is the last day's witness. He's talking about it again. And let me ask you something. Hey, is he crying? I'm going to reverse to 12:24. 12:24, he said, when he began talking about it, he said, you see, I'm not crying. Where's the Kleenex? That was 12:24. 12:31, he's explained again, and he's saying, the nuclear bomb is going to get rid of all the blood that has ever had, all the blood necessary, all the blood. The nuclear bomb is going to get rid of it, and we will not have the four horns anymore. It will be turned to gold. Let me ask you, A, is he crying? B, is he crying? C, do you want to check your notes? A, B, or C? He is not crying on 12:31. I was amazed. I said, oh, now I understand why all the time he's crying. But he told us on 12:31, no more will be all the blood, all the destruction that will exist. We, the house of Yahweh, will help get rid of it. Do you understand, great house of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. So have I whet your appetite? And with this, I'll turn it over to the first great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, you may be seated. I was inspired to make a first aid kit after going to the preparedness classes. This is what I put together by adding a few things each week. So as you can see, it's small, but it's a start. A few items that I have in my kit is Band-Aids. I have several different sizes. Kaya heat ointment. I also have a notepad and an ink pen because you may need to write something down. I also have medical tape. These are just a few of the items in my small kit. Then my whole family started working together. Little by little, week by week, we added things to our kit. We all worked together to make this kit. This is with everyone working together. Me by myself, I did this one. Teamwork makes a difference. In this kit, we have lavender oil, frankincense oil, thyme oil, peppermint oil, birch oil, cayenne tincture, a jar of honey, a bandana, which is multi-purpose use. And if you remember back in the class, they prepared this class that they encouraged if you take special medication or supplements to make sure you have that in your kit as well. So we have our liquid B12 that most of us in our family take. We have a box of baking soda. We do have a hot and cold pack for injuries. Hydrogen peroxide to help disinfect, which we have several choices as we have hydrogen peroxide, honey, and rubbing alcohol. There's more Band-Aids, different sizes, not sure what you're going to have to use. And we have a finger splint. Never know. First aid kit, it's prepared. You're prepared for everything. We also have a little bit of activated charcoal and turmeric. You start off small and you work your way to the bigger things. Be thankful for the things you do have. Our first aid kit is missing something. Can you help me figure out what it's missing? I'll give you a hint. Proverbs 11:4. Proverbs 11:4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. So now I ask you again, what is missing from our kit? Yes, righteousness. Righteousness is your only protection. You can have all the physical things in the world to help you prepare or be prepared for the times ahead, but unless you keep Yahweh's laws, you won't have protection. Our true protection comes from choosing righteousness, not the physical things. Choose righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Yahweh is able to make all blessings abound toward you, that you, always having all that you need in all things, may have an abundance for every righteous work. Remember, our righteousness is our protection. Choose righteousness. I would like to thank the greatest teacher in the world, Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins, for allowing me the opportunity to speak. And if you all please stand. I'd like to welcome up the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, Grace Hansi. You may be seated. Okay, it's a blessing to be before the call that once today. The title of my speech today is Peace, the Buried and Forgotten Option. Today, I would like to draw the attention of all world leaders from every corner of the world. I would like to address the growing concerns of all citizens of the earth. We are all concerned about the growing and alarming and disturbing threats of nuclear war. At the same time, my heart goes out to the world leaders because you are the ones sitting in office having to make these critical decisions at the greatest is the time period of mankind's greatest troubles. The earth in its troubles is growing every existing second, even as I speak today. We are living in the great nuclear age, a time when weapons of mass destruction has been invented and now looked upon as the only option and solution to global peace. We are living in a totally confused world. It seems like we have run out of all options. At this time, I'd like to turn your attention to the use of wisdom. So what is wisdom? And in Job 28, verse 28, wisdom is defined, it says, the reverence of Yahweh is wisdom, and turning away from evil is understanding. Wisdom is crying out to her children, and wisdom only comes from Yahweh. But who will listen? Today, I'd like to present to you an option other than war. I called it the buried and forgotten option. It is peace. Peace is the opposite of war. The way to peace was buried and forgotten for thousands of years. The only reason you did not choose the option of peace, world leaders, is because you were never taught the way to peace. The only thing all world leaders were taught and trained is in how to make war. War and only war. Today, we have war in the east, war in the north, war west, war in the south. War is all around us and it's gripped the four corners of the earth. Why do we have war? Because the sons of Cain, who sits on the seven hills of Rome, has taught you and its whole world to war and fight only. You were taught to obtain peace by the use of war, so you build great armies and store up powerful bombs. This is the only solution the Vatican knows. It is time you stop listening to the Vatican, the divining serpent, those who sit on the seven hills of Rome. World leaders, can you see that you are ever searching for peace but never finding it? Peace will never come from the paths of war, fighting, and death. It is time you turn the other ear. It's time to listen to the only voice that is crying out in the wilderness. And that voice is Yisrael Hawkins, yes. Yisrael Hawkins in the House of Yahweh is the only way to peace. Today, we come to you as true ambassadors of peace. Ambassadors of peace because we are taught the way to peace and we live by Yahweh's 613 laws of peace. Peace has only one path, and wisdom shows you that pathway. Wisdom knows her children. The former President Barack Obama presented us with the audacity of hope. Do you remember? The audacity of hope. Today, I like to embark upon the audacity of peace because this world would have no hope without a planned path to peace. We, the House of Yahweh, is presenting to you today the audacity of peace. For too long, the forces of war have shaped the world. Peace has been shoved into a corner, buried, and forgotten. In a time like this, yes, in a time like this, when nuclear bombs are stockpiled in every direction, in this world, the option of peace is now a force to be reckoned with. No nation will survive without considering and accepting peace. This option of peace is the last alternative to be placed on your tables. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is presenting you with the only planned path to peace. This is your only hope. This fact is already known. War has only shown our weaknesses and our failures to find a solution. But on the other hand, the peaceful solution shows our greatest strength and ability to look beyond our differences and find a common ground to resolve our problems. Peace has only winners, while war has only losers. So how is peace obtained? Peace is a choice, and everyone has the power to choose it for themselves and their nations. Peace never comes through force. It only comes through education and the laws of prophecy. In peace. We must learn them, then practice and keep these laws daily. The Peaceful Solution Care Education Program is ready, able, and willing to teach every nation on earth how to maintain and have peace. All you need to do is ask. We will help you. In my conclusion, I would like to leave you with three inconceivable truths. Number one, it is a fact in this generation of advanced technology, along with the trillions of billions of dollars floating around the globe at your disposal, that all world leaders would now consider the use of nuclear bombs as their only option to peace. That is an inconceivable truth. It is a fact that you are down to the last two options on your table. Either you nuke the earth and wipe out four-fifths of man's population, or to accept the audacity of peace offered to you today by the House of Yahweh and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That is an inconceivable truth. And number three, It is a fact that the final line is drawn in the sand. The forces of darkness and the forces of light is now looking at each other face to face. War versus peace. World leaders, your decision today you choose will change our planet forever. It would be regretful and an inconceivable truth if you choose to accept war as your last option. You would have proven you love war more than you love peace. Remember, wisdom calls out to her children. And she knows her children because her children obeys her warning. In closing, let's look at wisdom's warning in Proverbs 1, 25 through 28. And that's found on page 496. Page 496, Proverbs 1, 25 through 28. Okay, and it says, if you would turn at my rebuke and warning, I, wisdom, would pour out my spirit upon you. I will make you understand my words. But since I have called and you refuse, since I have stretched out my hand, but no man paid attention to it, since you think nothing of my counsel, advice, and would accept none of my rebuke and warning, in turn I will scoff at your calamity. I will mock when terror comes upon you, when fear comes upon you like a storm, when destruction comes upon you like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. Then they will call on me, wisdom, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. In the house of Yahweh, we have wisdom, and we're the only people that have it, so we have to share it with the world. And with this, I'll turn it over to my next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Cold and Hot. Yahshua told us in Matthew 24, verse 12, that iniquity would abound in the last days. The definition of the word iniquity, using the Ask Yisrael program, means doing away with Yahweh's laws that teach love. Rebelling against, condemning, making war against, teaching others not to keep Yahweh's laws are all iniquity. Notice again what Matthew 24, verse 12 is saying. Because iniquity is taught by the religions, love for one's fellow man, neighbor, and all people grows cold. Love growing cold leads to hatred growing hot and thoughts of murder taking over the mind instead of the teaching of love which Yahweh's laws bring forth. Did you hear what Pastor said there? Love growing cold leads to hatred growing hot and thoughts of murder taking over the mind. In the book of Jacob, chapter 4, verse 1, he asked this question and gives us the answer. This is Jacob 4, verse 1. It says, what causes war and fightings among you? Is it not from this, from your lust that battle in your members? Pastor has taught us time and time again. Lust, hatred, war. Lust, hatred, war. Lust leads to hatred. Hatred leads to war, whether it's between two people or two countries. Illegal lust always ends up with hatred that ends in war. We see this going on in the world today. The hatred has grown so hot that there is no true love, care, or concern for others. This is why we are seeing so many school shootings, murders, and wars. Because Yahweh's laws have been pushed aside for mankind's lusts, the people's minds have become confused to where they can't make a sensible decision. In the first book of Yisrael, chapter 24, verse 10, Pastor reads, remember the sermons we brought on confusion, the religions, the gods, the lifestyles that they live. Yahweh called it Babylon, which means confusion. If you notice in the news, our world leaders and inspectors, either they are deliberately lying or they are actually making decisions in this confusion. Their minds have to be so irrational, you would think that a 3-year-old child could make a better decision based on the evidence that they have. Yes, the 3-year-old children in the house of Yahweh can make better decisions than our world leaders today. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh's 613 laws, if kept, bring peace and joy. But when they are broken, we see what is going on in the world today. Total confusion of the mind, where no one can stop to make a right decision. Even our world leaders, the ones who are supposed to help and guide us, struggle to make sensible decisions. This is why we are headed for nuclear war. We see in the news many countries preparing for nuclear war. Why would they prepare for something that they know will devastate the entire world, including their own countries? The answer is simple. Remember? Lust leads to hatred, and the hatred is growing hotter and is leading to war. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, made the statement that the world is messed up and I'm going to fix it. That's true, it is messed up. But there's no fixing it by building more bombs and warships. There's no fixing it by building walls between countries. There's no fixing it by stopping people from coming into this country or sending people out of this country. All of this creates anger, which fuels hatred, which will bring on the worst time of trouble man has ever seen. Let's turn over to Matthew 24, verse 21. It's found on page 752. Matthew 24, verse 21, and it reads, "For then will be great tribulation, such as has not come to pass since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever will be. And unless those days were shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." While the doomsday clock moves closer and closer to midnight, signifying their destruction, we, Yahweh's people, should earnestly be praying for the great day of Yahweh to come, which will follow this one-hour nuclear burning. This will bring an end to the hatred and confusion we see in our world today. Let's also remember, the more we practice righteousness, the hotter our love will grow for Yahweh, and his soon coming kingdom will usher in. Now I would like to turn it over to the next speaker. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is The Lineage of the World. And the word lineage from Merriam-Webster's dictionary is a group of individuals tracing descent from a common ancestor. And the ancestor I want to talk about today is Cain. When we look around the world today, we see the sickness, the disease, the wars, and the hatred that we just spoke of, all coming from the choices that Cain made. And remember in Genesis, pastors taught us that Yahweh told mankind to guard and keep this way, to guard it and keep it, and to follow his laws. But instead, we see how they transgressed his laws, and as a result, we see the curses that come from sin. And in Genesis 3, you know, Satan used Cain as the first pope to deceive his followers, to deceive his family, into choosing to break Yahweh's laws. But one thing she failed to mention, along with how desirable she made sin look, was the consequences that come from it that we see in Deuteronomy 28. You know, starting from verse 15 all the way to the end, we see all the curses that come from breaking Yahweh's laws. But why is the world suffering these things? Because they follow the example of Cain, like we hear in Yada 1:11. The whole world has gone the way of Cain, starting from individuals to community to the whole entire world to even our world leaders, following the same leadership skills that Cain had. So what are some of Cain's characteristics? We have number one, he was a deceiver. He deceived his family. He deceived those into following him, thinking that it was okay to break Yahweh's laws. He made sin look desirable and made becoming like the gods a goal that they should accomplish. He was the first pope, and now today we see the Catholic Church following that same example. They're continuing to deceive the world into thinking that it's okay to break Yahweh's laws. He was a murderer, not just a murderer, but a murderer of those who were righteous, who kept Yahweh's laws. And we see throughout history, we see those who have followed the same example. With Hitler, he killed those who kept the Sabbath. And down to today, we see murders and killings at the numbers that you can't even imagine. When I was researching this, I was looking at a live count of the murder. And the number one murder is abortions. Just for 2017, there are hundreds of thousands of ways that people were dying. And as you watched a live stream, the numbers kept climbing, and you could see the different reasons people were dying. Why? Because one person made a choice to reject Yahweh's laws. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 8, it goes to list all the things that we will see in the world today. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times will come.
For men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Without natural affection, true speakers, false accusers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those who are righteous. And verse 7, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And these are the characteristics of the world that we see. But, like it says, you know, all these things will lead to nuclear war. We see how the leaders, they have no peace within themselves. They're fighting with each other. And the love of the world has grown cold. It takes a person, like pastors told us, it takes a person to be completely deceived and desensitized to look at another human being and not value them with the life that Yahweh wants us to value one another with. And where, like it says in verse 7, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Like pastors told us, the Catholic Church, the world, they know what the laws of Yahweh, they have some form of righteousness, but they choose. They make a choice not to. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. So you may love Yahweh your Father by listening to him and then obeying him. Hold fast to him, for he is your life. So why is the world dying? Because they've rejected Yahweh. They've rejected their only hope to life that they have. And this is leading to the burning that we see in Malachi 4, verse 1. In Malachi 4, verse 1. It says, for behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven, and the proud, yes, all those who do wickedly, will be stubble. The day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh, and it will leave them neither root nor branch. And this shows that no matter how strong that the world leaders think they are, no matter how much they think that they can go without Yahweh, how the 6,000 years have proven to be full of hatred and disease. And in 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 3, verse 9, it says, but they will proceed no longer. Why will they proceed no longer? Because if you see in verse 2 of Malachi 4, verse 2, it says, but for you, which is us, who reverence my name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out leaping like calves released from the stall. And you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. And skipping down to verse 4, it says, remember the law of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded through him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. We will release this world from the bondage that sin brings. Not a physical bondage with ropes and ties, but the bondage of the curses that have been brought upon them. When we release them, we can release them into the peace, the joy, and the love, and the abundant living that they don't know that they're lacking, but they're ever searching for, like Yahweh told Cain. He said, you will ever be searching for peace. But we, the house of Yahweh, have the peace that the world needs, and we'll be right here to offer it to them. Now, with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title is The Worst Time of Trouble is Upon Us, and We Must Be Prepared. Matithiah 24, verse 21 tells us, we are living in a time like no other. There are nations in war against other nations, starvation, diseases in the millions, technology with the possibility to wipe out all life. Everyone in the world is fighting against one another. There are riots breaking out everywhere, and the usual false sense of security that the world has is gone. They are confused, lost, and have no hope. The governments don't know what to do with them. The religious leaders don't have any answers for them, and that's what we see all around the world today. We know that the end result will be a one-hour burning. Because of our great teacher, we know that this is all prophesied for this generation. And we also know the prophesied place of protection. When we see everything that is taking place in the world, as it says in Psalms 91, verse 8, that we will, it's easy to get discouraged. And it's easy to get frightened, but we can't. We have to remember why we are here, our goals, and to stand strong in our place in the work of Yahweh. We are preparing right now for the worst time of trouble ever seen in mankind's history, the one-hour burning which man will bring upon the earth. While we are preparing physically, like the first speaker brought out, which is extremely important, we also have to remember to prepare mentally and spiritually. Mentally preparing by remembering this isn't going to be easy, but always reminding ourselves of Yahweh's promises and that He is in full control, and not candy-coating it to ourselves, because the house of Yahweh brings out in the new moons and the classes of all the things that are going to occur. And yes, it's going to be horrible, and there's going to be lots of destruction, but that's why it's important to set our mind in advance so that we do not fear. And spiritually preparing ourselves by studying, making notes, going to classes and services, but also applying the things that we learn to our daily lives to help our character be like Yahweh. Time is so short, and Yahweh has given us a little time left to finish overcoming. It may be easy to grow lax, but we must stay focused in this last time. The end of the race is where we need our strength to push forward and get through this one-hour burning and to make it to our ultimate goal. If you would turn with me to Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. So be on guard, see to it that your minds are never clouded with carousing, drunkenness, or anxieties and worries of this life, so that day will not come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come like a trap on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Because of this, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This day is coming very soon. So we must be prepared, doing everything that the one sent in Yahweh's administration tells us to do, working, watching, and waiting, praying to Yahweh that we may be protected and become His sons and daughters like we are striving to today. If you will turn to me to Psalms, turn with me, Psalms 33, 16 to 22. This is a great scripture for whenever you need drive or encouragement to keep going, and if you need to be encouraged for what you see it taking place in the world today. Verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for salvation. Neither shall it deliver any by its strength. Military strength for salvation is a lie. By the greatness of that strength, no man will be delivered. All these are vain. Behold, Yahweh sees those who reverence Him. He sees those who hope in His mercy. He delivers them from death and keeps them alive in famine. We wait for righteous Yahweh. Yahweh is our help and our shield. We trust in your holy name and we rejoice in you, Yahweh. According to our trust in you, may your mercy be upon us. We hope in you. So while we're preparing ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually, remember, Yahweh, His laws, His one sent, and His administration is our clarity and hope in the confused, falling apart world. He is our only protection for this one-hour burning. And before I close, I wrote a poem to share with you all. When we look around the world, all we see is death. Riots and violence, there is no peace left. Lying and hate is all around, just as was foretold. As it says in Matthew 24, the love has grown cold. The darkness closes in and all around is evil, while the world leaders are trying to control the people. No one knows what to do. There are no answers. They're even turning against their lying preachers. In the midst of all the chaos and destruction is a light flickering, bringing hope to the nations. In this light, there is hope and protection. In this light, we see the reflection of perfection. Yisrael Hawkins is this light to the dying and confused people. For all who hears and obeys, turns away from evil. Through Yisrael Hawkins, Yahweh's last day's witness, there is hope. No more in the darkness do we grope. Soon the one-hour burning is coming upon all mankind, so don't let this opportunity pass you by. Keep Yahweh's laws and turn from sin, and the kingdom we will live together for all eternity in. And with that, I'm going to turn it to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is Choosing Righteousness is Like Putting Money in a Bank. When I was thinking about my speech, I was thinking about how much time and effort we put into physically preparing for things to come. Just as important as it is to physically prepare for events to come, it is so much more important for us to spiritually prepare ourselves for things to come. So when I was thinking about spiritually preparing, I was thinking about overcoming sin. We know that we are being judged for our actions. Pastor tells us every Sabbath, he says, we are on trial now. And he also brought out about how Eob was on trial. But Eob didn't know that at the time. But we know that we are on trial now. We are being judged for our actions now. So these are some questions that I find that I'm asking myself daily. Am I putting a diligent effort into overcoming? What else can I do to overcome? Where am I lacking? But Yahweh is so merciful. He gives us more time to overcome. So I looked up a definition of merciful, and it's from the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. And it says, helping someone to get out of an unpleasant situation. The world we live in today is an unpleasant situation because of sin, the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Yahweh has helped us, the house of Yahweh, to come out of this unpleasant situation because he has given us a teacher to guide us and 613 laws to follow. I want you to think about all the times Yahweh has been merciful to you. Now think about the times that Yahweh has allowed you the opportunity to be merciful to someone else. Yahweh shows us his mercy every single day when he allows us another opportunity to prove ourselves for his great kingdom.
The Bluetooth device is ready.
We should be using this time to work on overcoming all of the things we think are little things. We shouldn't take this for granted. Make sure that you are using this time to get right with Yahweh. So back to my title. Choosing righteousness is like putting money in a bank. It's something that my father has always told me since I was very young. He said, when you start putting money in a bank, you don't get any rewards right away. But when you've saved up enough money in your bank, then you can go out and purchase something that you really want. He says it's the same thing as choosing righteousness. We don't always get rewards right away, but Yahweh is merciful. He remembers the righteousness we choose, and our reward will be so many things. Peace, protection, eternal life, health, or just a few. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, it says, in those days, Hezekiah became sick and lay near death. Isaiah the prophet went to him and said, this is what Yahweh says, set your house in order, you shall surely die and not live. He turned his face to the wall and prayed to Yahweh, saying, O Yahweh, remember how I walked in your truth with a perfect heart and have done right in your eyes. Then Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then before Isaiah could go through the middle court, the word of Yahweh came to him and said, go back, tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what Yahweh says. The father of David, your father, says, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and I will surely heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of Yahweh. I will add 15 years to your life. Yahweh remembered the righteousness King Hezekiah had chose. Yahweh remembers the righteousness we choose. Choosing righteousness is like putting money in a bank, but not just any bank. It's like putting money in the bank of Yahweh. So let's do some examples, okay? Let's think about some things that you can do on a daily basis to put your money in the bank of Yahweh. Salting your food, we're putting money in the bank of Yahweh. We know that's positive law 62, salt all sacrifices. Keeping the Sabbath, that's putting money in your bank of Yahweh. That's positive law 154. Reading and studying, positive law 10. We're filling up our bank. Being respectful to everyone. Positive law 206, love your neighbor, whether a brother or an enemy, as yourself. Being thankful to Yahweh in prayer, praise, and deed. Positive law 19. Our bank is getting full. So I encourage you to continue storing up your righteousness in your bank of Yahweh so that one day you will hear these words. It's Matthew 25:23. His ruler said to them, well done, righteous servants, righteous and faithful servants. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter in to the joy of your ruler. I want to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yezhou Abel Hawkins, for teaching us Yahweh's laws and giving me the opportunity to speak today. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title today is Unity Here, Unity There. We can either be in unity with the house of Yahweh, or we can be in unity with Satan and the gods. In Revelation 10, verse 7, if you turn there, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets." In the fifth book of Israel, verse 52 to 53, Pastor says, "That's what the Vatican is doing right now and has all the world. The complete world is in unity with him." That's what the scriptures say in Revelation 12 in the first few verses. It says that the world is going to worship him. Well, this proves it right here. 196, that's total. That's the total world right there saying, "Yes, we are going to follow you." Revelation 17:2, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, practiced idolatry, God worship, the worship of Elohim. That is, they've practiced sin. They've practiced God worship, the evil of the gods, as Genesis 1, verse 5 says. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk, confused, deceived with the voice, the teaching of her fornication." So we can see the whole world is following the city that sits on seven hills, in the Vatican. Remember in Revelation 12, 9, it says Satan has deceived the whole world. In the Mark of the Beast, volume 2, page 365, it's entitled, "What is Deception?" It says, in a few words, deception is when one allows oneself to be drawn into belief that he or she can have a joyous life by breaking Yahweh's laws. The thought of disobedience to Yahweh's laws is placed in the minds of lustful people through the teachings of Satan preachers in the world today. Following this way is what is going to bring about the one-hour burning written of in Revelation. Pastor says in the 15th book of Israel, verses 74 to 80, he says, "The plagues will come in one day, death, mourning, and famine in one day, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is Father Yahweh, who judges her." That is, predicts this. It says judges. Yes, he judges. "From what you're doing, you're going to cause this to come upon you." Look at verse 19 now. "And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships in the sea were made rich through her wealth, for in one hour..." Notice what's coming. You see that? Pastor goes on to say the last word in this sentence. Read it for yourself. Read it. You see it. "She is made desolate. One hour destruction has come. One hour destroyed in one hour." This is what the world is facing because they partake of the other tree. In Jacob 4, verse 4, it's on page 955. It says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Therefore, whoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of Yahweh." We should not be friends of the world. If we are, we are just like the 196 countries that told the Pope, "Yes, we will follow you." What we should do is written in Jacob 4, verse 7. "Therefore, submit yourself to Yahweh, resist the devil, and she will flee from you." In the 15th book of Israel, verse 91, Pastor says, "Well, hear 2 Kefa now. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. Now Yahweh said, there's no reason why you should be overtaken with this as a..." You know where you're supposed to be. The protected place is no other place except the house of Yahweh, the protected place. In verse 95, Pastor says, "Since all these things will then be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? In holy conduct and righteousness." Number one, you should be in unity. Pastor goes on to say, you should be in unity with me, with Yahshua, and with Yahweh. "I'm not going to tell you anything that would be out of unity with Yahshua or Yahweh, but I will disclose the Bible to you, the Holy Scriptures, the book of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh." Pastor says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found spotless, blameless. Don't let anyone say, you're rebelling at all. Do what you're told to do. Follow the laws that they tell you to follow, blameless and at peace with him." Verse 18, "But grow in truth and in the knowledge of Yahweh." When you have a free moment, Pastor says, don't think about getting on wheels and running around. Go get your Book of Israel, the Book of Yahweh, the newsletters, whatever you can. Eat the lunch bags, whatever. Read the lunch bags, whatever, but fill your mind with knowledge and wisdom and pray that Yahweh let you fall in love with it. He can. You'll fall in love with it if you'll practice what he tells you. Pastor goes on to say, verse 18, but grow in truth. That's what he's telling you to do, and in the laws of Yahweh and of our Savior, Yeshua Messiah. We don't have very long now. To Yahweh belongs the glory, both now and forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh, praise Yahweh. So remember to always practice righteousness. Like what 2 Kefa says, grow in truth, and the truth is the laws of Yahweh. Grow in truth and the knowledge of Yahweh. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today, I'd like to continue speaking on the topic of how Yahweh's prophecies prove themselves true and that we can trust in them and put our full trust in Yahweh 100%. I'd like to begin by reading a section of one of the blogs that came out, and it was entitled, The Great, Quote, Holy, Unrighteous Alliance. These 10 will make war with the Lamb and bring the great burning. And Pastor goes on to say, the book of Revelation is just what the name implies. Yahweh's prophet Daniel was told to close the revelation to mankind and seal the prophecies until the time of the end. Daniel was shown the two witnesses and actually talked to one of them in a vision, who on that future day prophesied was, who on a future prophesied day was teaching and revealing the prophecies to all nations. And that was shown in Daniel 12, 1 through 6. So at the count of three, can everyone yell out, what year did the last generation start? 1, 2, 3. 1934. Yes, nice job. And isn't it amazing how Pastor has, Revelation 1:1-3, and how he explained how Yahweh actually used that television before it ever came out. He was able to send that message in a vision to his prophet Daniel. But let's read. If you can all turn to Revelation 1:1-3, it's on page 971. It says, the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it through his Malak, Israel Hawkins, to his servant Yochanan. So you can see there how he explained that he repeated it to Yochanan until he got it wrote down right. Who has testified to the word of Yahweh, the laws of the prophets, and to the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, and to all the things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. So you can see there is more of Yahweh's promises. The time is at hand. It's not going to be in some other generation. We can see through the scriptures in Matthew 24 that this is the last generation, and there's no more. Yahweh's allowing us time, but it's not going to be held back for that much longer. Remember that scripture says that there was found time no longer. So the prophecies about the nuclear war, 1 hour burning, we know that it's coming from the religions who have rejected Yahweh's laws, and these things are shown way back in Genesis 49. So if you could turn to Genesis 49, verse 1, and you notice how we're always told to remember those two last words, the last days. Then Yaakov called for his sons and said, gather together so I may tell you what will befall you in the last days. Speaking of that same generation that Yahshua spoke about, the last generation. And also that Daniel said, the greatest time of trouble ever. And you can read in verse 4, you see turbulent like water, that meaning the confusion of the mind. All the leaders who, their minds are so confused that they can act impulsively and drop that nuclear bomb at any second. In fact, last night someone was reading an article to me about how it said, Donald Trump, do we really understand what it means that he has his finger on the nuclear bomb? And it was speaking about how at any second, whether it's a false alarm or a true alarm, he only has a few seconds to choose whether to launch a nuclear missile or not. So you can see there, their minds are confused through the uncleanness and the defilement. And verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brothers, their swords are weapons of violence. And you can see that violence spoken of in Daniel 11:31, the great army, and also Matithiah 11, verse 12, where they would overtake the house of Yahweh, and they destroyed the temple and moved beyond Babylon, which is the seven hills of Rome. And verse 8, Yada, your brothers will praise you, your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. And you can see the oppression that Yada, who's holding a scepter, still has put on all nations and all people. Your father's sons will bow down to you. And just like in Revelation, it says there, all the Catholic Church and her daughters, they all worship her and they wandered after the beast. Cursed be their anger so fierce and their fury so cruel. And I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them throughout Israel. And remember also in verse 8, that word praise means to serve, to bow down to worship, to follow after their pattern. And verse 10, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor the ruling staff from between his feet, until he who comes to whom tribute belongs and the obedience of the nations is his. Which also brings to scripture another mind in Daniel 7:27, where the kingdoms will eventually belong to the people of Yahweh under Yahshua Messiah. Okay, so what should we be doing in this time when we know that the nuclear war is so close? And we all know about that article that was shared on RT, the interview that said, you know, the atomic Armageddon is only 30 minutes away, proving again Revelation 17 and 18 right about the 1 hour. We should be taking this time to, you know, take our training seriously because there's not much time left. And remember what the scripture says, what manner of persons ought we to be? Those who encouraging each other and staying involved in the work and always putting our trust in Yahweh, putting our trust in those prophecies that we know are going to come to pass. The last generation came. We've seen the computer, the nuclear bomb invented. The last day's witness was born. And it was so amazing last Sabbath how we saw on August 25th, 1934, down to the very date, they had that first television come out. Also, that date was interesting because August 25th, 2011 is when Yahweh put the first donkey vision for who to see? Yes, Pastor Israel Hawkins. So we can always trust in Yahweh's prophecies and always remember Revelations 1 verse 3 where it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Not just hear it, but hear it with the intention to believe it. And remember that Yahweh's always given us, he's given us right now the time to prepare. He's held it back a little longer so we can take our training seriously and come into more unity. Now with this, if y'all please stand, I'm going to turn over to the next teacher.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about 1934 and how this generation started in 1934, like the speaker before me said. And if we could all turn to Daniel 12:4. Daniel 12:4 is on page 684, and it says, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Notice that he said knowledge would be increased. Mankind would use that knowledge to create the weapons that would lead to the 1 hour burning shown in Revelation 11. So if we could all turn to Revelation 11, it's on page 982, and we're going to start in verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Verse 17, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. And every sea captain and all the companies and ships and the sailors and all who earned their living from the sea stood afar off. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city and all who had ships in the sea were made rich through her wealth. For in 1 hour, she is made desolate. Okay, so like the speaker before me said, knowledge was increased in 1934, and that was the starting of this generation. So four main things occurred in 1934. The witness overseer, Yijah Hawkins, was born. The computer that was used in the development of nuclear weapons of mass destruction was invented. The television was invented. And lastly, Leo Szilard patented the first method of producing a nuclear explosion. With these four things, we can see that Yahweh's work and Satan's work were running side by side. Technology invented that would soon lead to the 1 hour burning caused by sin was making its way into all the world starting in 1934. While Yahweh very quietly was starting work back in Oklahoma, raising Israel Hawkins with the Bible, with what he knew. And it would soon also make its way into all the world, as prophesied in Isaiah 2:2. Yahweh said in Revelation 11 three times, in verse 10, 17, and 19, that the 1 hour would, that the nuclear burning would be in 1 hour. Yahweh's prophecies always prove themselves true. Okay. I have an article that says Atomic Armageddon is just 30 minutes away, U.S. former Navy advisor. Okay, and at the end of the interview, she says, how does one launch a nuclear weapon? Is it as easy as pressing a button? How long does it take for a nuclear missile to reach its target? And he went to explaining how it was done. And he said, so the world could be basically finished off in anywhere from half hour to an hour. And then most would be delivered in a very short time, probably within a half hour to an hour. So we can see that Yahweh always proves his prophecies true. This nuclear burning will darken the sun and moon and will cause all hope of life to be gone. If we could turn to Matthew 24 and verse 29, on page 753. It says, immediately, but after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. There is a way to escape this 1 hour burning. In Revelation 18, verse 4, it says, come out of her, my people. I hear another verse from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins and so that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. Come into unity with Yahweh's house and receive of the blessings that awaits you. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is, if Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? Please turn to Romans 8:31, page 879 in the book of Yahweh. It reads, what then will we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? Great sisters in the house of Yahweh, I'm before you exalting great Father Yahweh for blessing me to be in his habitation today. Please turn to Deuteronomy 12:5, in page 157 in the book of Yahweh. It reads, but you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place Yahweh, your father, shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. Please note the last part, and there you must go. I'm from Kenya. This is my first time to be in Ebo. I got the calling of Yahweh in October 2013 with a lot of joy after spending my past life in total darkness. Back in Kenya, we number about 600 members of the House of Yahweh. And everyone is eager to come home here at Ebo. The main challenge most of us have been The most challenge for most of us has been to obtain the U.S. travel visas because the beast system is also at work against it. I'm thankful to Father Yahweh and the great house of Yahweh because as a family, we sent our prayer requests as we were seeking visas. And we were successful in obtaining visas for the whole family. Yahweh did not leave us nor forsaken us. For your note, please read Yeshua 1:5. We went to our visa interview on August 29th, 2016. And our waiting ticket number was 253. When I checked this number in the Strong Greek Dictionary, 253 means free from grief and less sorrowful. When this number is summed up, 2 plus 5 plus 3 is equals to 10. From Strong Greek Dictionary means 10 means my father is majesty. Great Father Yahweh went ahead of us to remove sorrow and grief that we would affect us in case we fail the interview. For our air ticket, we had to sell everything we had and praise Father Yahweh that we got enough cash to buy tickets. Please turn to Matthew 13:44. And it says in the book of Yahweh, again, the kingdom of Yahweh is like hidden treasure in field, which when a man has found it, he hides it again, and then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In conclusion, sisters, let us trust in Yahweh, for we will surely find joy in him. Please turn to Isaiah 58 and verse 14. Page 567. And it says, Then you will find your joy in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. And by that, I turn it to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. It's an honor to talk to the great saints of Yahweh, the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. You may be seated. My title is My Works. My faith with my works lead to obedience, which gave me understanding. I got here in 2013, and I was instructed to read the book of Daniel. And I read it again and again and again, and nothing stuck out to me. But fast forward to January 7th, 2017, and I noticed when the deacon showed the rocket with the four animals and the four faces, and I realized, oh my word, that was Daniel chapter 7. So I was really excited about that. Page 931 in the book of Yahweh, 2 Thessalonians, the side note, G2, is also about the dream of Daniel. So Pastor was speaking about 2334, and he said that 23 was for Hebrew 1, meant father, and 2 for gathering. He said that when we see 34, even if there's a number in front of it, it is for our generation. So I put it together. Father of gathering the workers for the last day's prophesied work, tethering the donkeys to the branch. Yahweh is gathering like he did in Noah's time, but he is doing another gathering at this time. It was sealed for 1,500 years, and Yahweh our Father is bringing it back, re-reward. In Zechariah, page 720 in the book of Yahweh, 8:12-12, for before those days there was not reward, salvation from Yahweh, for man, because mouths of the ones to preach the reward, the salvation of Yahweh, were silent. Neither was there any peace, because the enemy who turned every man, each against his brother, but now I will not deal with the residue of this people as the former days, says Yahweh of hosts. But for the seed will grow successfully, the vine will give her fruit, and the ground will give her increase, and the heavens will give her increase, and the heavens will give their due. I will cause a remnant of this people to possess all these blessings, re-reward. In Genesis 6:21, page 5, and you shall take for yourself all that is eaten, and you shall gather this for yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. It shall be food for you and for them. This is spiritual food for all the generations. Pastor let us know who was here that day on 1/14/2017. He said the vine, the branch, the donkey, the donkey colts, and the 12 apostles. Pastor tweaked his teaching that day a little bit. He wasn't just teaching, he was instructing Daniel. Remember, Pastor said, Yochanan, before Pastor was born, the microorganisms with the wavelengths, Yochanan was able to see Pastor in this time period. Learning to teach and teach what to learn. So Yochanan could go back and write his books just like Yekhetsia, Jeremiah, and Daniel did. All of the others did in their times. Pastor taught them as they taught him in their time periods. It didn't matter if it was 998 BY, 595 BY, or in Daniel's time, 1607 to 1534 BY. And 1534 BY, Daniel is for the last day's prophesied work, tethering the donkeys to the branch, Israel Hawkins, the overseer of the house of Yahweh. In Matthew 24:14, Yeshua our Savior said, and the message of the kingdom will be preached to the nations, or to the world, by the one Israel Hawkins who bears witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. We are in 144 nations right now, House of Yahweh. Pastor, I had to ask him, you know, he told us, how are you speaking to these generations? And he said, television. Now understand, tele, the definition, number one, said to or at a distance. Two, relating to television, which we watch him through television, computer screens, phones, etc. And vision, the faculty or state of being able to see. Two, an experience of seeing someone or something in a dream or trance or as a supernatural apparition. And a verb, imagine. Pastor turned 82 on 8/28/2016, last year, and he's 83 in Hebrew. And when I looked up Hebrew 83, it said Son of Yahweh. At that moment, I realized that Pastor made it, and he had to be 83 dressed in royal purple so that these visions would make sense and that they would know that we are in the last days of the house of Yahweh. Them with us, the workers, the last days, prophesized work. And again, they saw what we saw on 1/14/2017. Now let's look at the date backwards. 17, pastor's lot number. We drop the zero. Two, the two witnesses. Currently, pastor in the house of Yahweh. 14 is 7 plus 7. 7 means completion, but we are not complete yet. So the second 7 makes the first 7 stronger. Okay? And that leads us back to number 1. 1 is for Yahweh, our Father, which is Yahweh, whose plan from the beginning to the end. And because I did as I was instructed, I was able to see this vision, and I'm able to share it with you today. Now may you all stand so I may turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. My title this morning is The Finish Line, It Moves. I just really want to have kind of a heart-to-heart talk with you today. I want to first lay the foundation that we're in the last days, but I'm not going to take all my time this morning to prove that to you. Our overseer and the great Kahans have done a tremendous job of that already, and several of our speakers this morning have given a nice recap. But for your notes, just in case you somehow missed it, I recommend the House of Yahweh Established Booklet, the Books of Israel, all 23 volumes, IsraelSays.com, AskIsrael.com, Exodus 49, and Matthew 24. Even the world, the preachers, and many of the general population will tell you that we are in the last days. So my question to you this morning is, what are you going to do about it? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entraps us, and let us run the race that is set before us with endurance. We're running a race to the kingdom. Now, this is not a race against each other. It's a race against ourselves, our own carnality. I've always pictured that race in my mind as a physically running race. Whenever I think about it, that's what I picture, someone just running and running and running, maybe even sprinting at the very end. But as I was thinking about it this week, I thought, that's a really exhausting way to think about this walk with Yahweh. How many of you have either had a dream or seen like a dream sequence, a visualization of someone just running down an endless hallway? No matter how hard they run, they just never reach the end. They can see it. It's not that far away, but it seems like it just keeps moving further and further away. And they never seem to get any closer to it. Our tests and our trials, those daily things that are thrown at us, they can make this race feel that way sometimes. But it's an illusion. It's not true, and it's not real. I don't know about you, but I get tired just thinking about running a race like that. And our brains are very, very powerful. What we think, we become. So if we're always thinking about our walk with Yahweh that way, do you think it's going to be easy to endure? I've been in the house of Yahweh for more than half my life. I've seen a lot of people come, and I've seen a lot of people go. And I have to tell you that it completely boggles my mind that people who were here longer than me could be running and running and running that race, get only a few steps from that finish line and just stop and turn back and give up. Boggles my mind. And I don't want to be like that. So I've decided to think of this race in a different way. And I'm going to try and illustrate that for you this morning, if I can, if you'll bear with me. So picture this as the house of Yahweh. And this right here is going to represent our pastor in his purple. We know he was here first. Our great Kohan said something once that has really stuck with me about us being Israel's seed. He said that we're seeds with feet. So, when we find ourselves in an unrighteous situation, and that's whether it's of our own making or someone else's, but we find ourselves in that unrighteous situation, we can get up and move. We don't have to stay there. That puts us firmly with Pastor if we move from those unrighteous situations back to righteousness. And the more of us that find our place and stand in that place in unity, grow in that unity, the stronger we are. But we're strong together. We're our own worst enemies. Yahweh is never going to take us out of his house. He brought us here. We can only take ourselves out. Every single person I've seen leave this great house of Yahweh had something that they wouldn't overcome or they wouldn't give up. Notice I said wouldn't, not couldn't. Yahweh gives us the strength to overcome if we will do it. Those people didn't truly come to unity. But if we are enduring, standing in our place together, how easy do you think it's going to be to break away and leave? I'm betting on impossible. We need to concentrate not on running, but on standing in our place. Coming to unity with Yahweh, which means coming to unity with Pastor and all of our governing authorities. Now here's the best part. That finish line that we're all desperately trying to get to, it does move. But it doesn't get farther away like in that dream. It's drawing closer to us. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on toward love and righteous works, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There's that finish line moving toward us. Romans 13, 10 through 11. Love works no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love the performing of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The finish line again, getting closer to us. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So if you're feeling a bit worn down by your tests, and you feel like you've been running in place, not getting anywhere, you can stop running. Just stand in your place. And I'll stand right beside you in mine, and we'll all stand with Pastor, because that finish line, it moves, and it's almost here. It's been a complete honor and privilege to speak in front of the called out ones of the House of Yahweh in these last days. If you'd please stand, I'd like to turn the podium over to the next speaker. Praise God.
Shalom, everyone. Shalom, everyone. Shalom, everyone. Shalom, everyone. I want you to pay close attention.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I thought you'd like to be greeted by Pastor on the Sabbath. I miss him too. Praise Yahweh. The title of this speech is Yahweh is Israel's Father. How excellent is your great name in all the earth, Yahweh, our strength and our sovereign King. You have your glory firmly set above the starry frame. When we consider your heavens, the work your fingers framed, the work of the heavens, the work of the stars which by you were ordained. In the house of Yahweh, we stand in awe of Yahweh and that everything he does and what Yeshua does when he puts the donkey up in the sky, when the microbes obey him. We give him honor. We think how awesome he is, how magnanimous he is, how wonderful Great Father Yahweh is. But the world isn't like that. And let me explain. In 1948, a comet was spotted. It was spotted by three men in Japan, and it was called Comet 45P. Also, they gave it the name Honda, I say Mr. Cause, and this last name, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce. But this was revealed by three men. So I looked up the date, 1948, in the Strong's, and it says folly. To make show, shine, to boast, clamorous, rave, foolish. And that's what men do, the men of this world do. When they see something that they think belongs to them, they don't give honor to Yahweh, they take it upon themselves. Now that was 69 years ago. And 69 in the Strong's comes from 68, it means stone. It means it comes from 1129 to build a plummet. Remember the plummet of Zerubbabel? That he would rebuild the waste places in Isaiah 58:12, restore the repairer of the breach. It also means to establish and rebuild the house of Yahweh. So now, 69 years ago from that date that comet was first seen by man, 69 years now, that comet was seen this morning, closest to the earth that it could be this morning. It also, 69 means to be watchful, to guard and keep. So that's what the overseer does. He is watchful, he is guarding and keeping. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, on page 718, it says, for who has despised the day of small things? They will rejoice and they will see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, if you look over to the side note G33, it says in this way, he refers to Zerubbabel, who represents the Messiah. Remember Revelation 22:16, I, Yeshua, have sent my Malach to testify to you these things in the congregation of the house of Yahweh. He is representing our Messiah, who should go forward with his building to the joy and comfort of the righteous. So let's go over some of these letters. Can we look on the chart over here? That first name, Honda, was one of the men. In gematria, that means, is the number 103. It means harvest or to gather. In Greek, it means to sing praises to Yahweh. You see, this comet 69 years ago wasn't for them. It was an encouragement to us, and so that Yahweh could, through men, show him his foolishness and how Yahweh himself will be glorified. And the number 260 comes from, is the gematria for Merkos. And it means grass, a meadow. Immediately, it takes us to Isaiah 44, verse 4, where it says, "They will spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses." That comes straight out of the house of Yahweh established. And that is on page 17 of the house of Yahweh established, one of Pastor's numbers, 17. And also that word grass means the court of the house of Yahweh. It's the only place on earth that justice, true justice and judgment can be found. Praise Yahweh for that. And in the Greek, the number 260 means a close association, to gather together, as in keeping the Sabbaths and the feast days. We gather together in close association to learn of Yahweh. Now that last name, which I am not going to even try to pronounce again, is the gematria 1717, and in the Hebrew it means to love. And the Greek means to show openly. And it comes from the number 1722, and 5316, 1722 is a fixed position, a place of time, purpose, set at one again. In these last days, we have been set as one with Yahweh again. And it comes from a number that we've heard before, and that's 1537, meaning origin, the point where motion or action proceeds. And that's the same word, it goes back to that same word when you do the gematria for the house of Yahweh and also for the book of Yahweh, the point where motion and action begins. And it also had gone, in Greek, gone back to the word 5316. It means to lighten, to shine, to show, to shine, to be brought into light, appearing as Yeshua, a sign, prophesied sign to the world. Now, when you take all those numbers, 103, 260, 1717, it comes up in the gematria 2080, which means giving. And it comes from 2064, to confer and endow. In the dictionary, the word confer means grant or bestow a title, a degree, benefit, a right. To endow means to provide with a quality or ability. To invest with a gift. That gift that has been given to us in these last days, sisters, is Israel Hawkins. He is our gift. And it also, as a verb, means to put on or to clothe or to cover. And isn't Israel Hawkins the one that's clothing us in righteousness? Isn't it him that is layering that law upon us to make us righteous? And it also means to cover. And we know in Psalm 91 it talks about that he will cover us with a shadow of protection. We don't have anything to worry about, sisters. Our salvation is soon to come. The suffering of this world is soon to end. And it also comes from the origin, its origin comes from a French word, and it means to lead. And last week, if we recall, the number 747 stood for Pastor's name, and it meant to bring up, brought up, the chief leader, who again is invoking Yahweh's name. So let me take you over to this chart again. Okay? You see that where I added 1 plus 3 plus 2 plus 6 plus 1 plus 7 plus 1 plus 7, those are all the individual numbers in those three gematria numbers for the names. And that equals 28. Another one of Pastor's numbers. But then when you also take those numbers and you add it together and you got the 2,080, if you take the zeros out of there, you also have 28 for Pastor's number. Now, if you want to take those numbers and put them in something that really is pretty amazing, take all those numbers, you take that 6 and you put it to the front, you take the 1 and the 3, you have 613 laws of Yahweh. And then you take the 2 and 1 and the 7, that's this year, 2017, and you end up with 17 left, Pastor's number. So then I look at number 74 there, and you might wonder, well, where does the number 74 fit in? Well, it does, because this morning, that comet, the closest it got to the Earth, was 7.4 million miles. So we got Pastor's three lot numbers in a comet that really, 69 years ago, was shown to man today to glorify Great Father Yahweh. And you might want to ask, why did I choose to name this title of my speech, Yahweh is Israel's Father? Because after I did that numbering system with the adding of the individual numbers, I decided, well, let me add the individual numbers of Pastor's lot. So see, you have 1 plus 7 plus 2 plus 8 plus 7 plus 4. It equals 29. 29 in the Hebrew is Yahweh is my Father. So you see, just like the other great teacher said, that Israel is the son of Yahweh, Yahweh is Israel's Father. And because of Israel Hawkins only, Yahweh is our Father too. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh be glorified as our next teacher comes up, who is always willing to give Yahweh, her Father, great honor.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. There is an incredible bond that Yahweh has made without hands. Can you guess what it is? I mean, it is so strong and it's so deep. It's an endless love, a bond between people. That is parents and children. And how do you know this is so strong? It's because, and I know all of you can relate, when you're little, your mom knows you really well, doesn't she? She knows what you're feeling. She knows when you're behind closed doors what you're doing. Your dad, the minute you act up, you know, even though his eyes is not looking at you, the back is looking at you somehow, some way. And when you get home, they know what you did too, right? That's the way this bond is. It's so incredible that nothing can be destroyed. None of that could be destroyed. If you look in the scripture, I want to give you the greatest example of that is Hannah. I mean, think about how she wanted to be part of this plan of Yahweh, to be a mother. She prayed and she prayed and she cried so much, they thought she was drunk, right? But all she wanted was just that one child to know that she had a part of Yahweh's kingdom, in building Yahweh's kingdom. But that's how much she loved being a mother. Think about Yaakov. He had 12 tribes, but when one went missing, he's like, I'm going down to my grave in distress. Because he loved his children. He loved his children. So, you can see where I'm going. Let's go ahead and read Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. This is where Yahweh lays out his beautiful Ten Commandments. Page 61. This is the fifth commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother, so your days will be long upon the land which Yahweh your father is giving you. And if you read the second witness to that scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says that this is the first commandment with a promise, meaning if you do it, there's a promise waiting for you. This is the very first. But we're going to look more into these words. Stay here in Exodus 20, verse 12. And if you look at the word honor, if you look on the side, note letter E, it says, the Talmud said that this word was taken to great latitude. It is taken to mean respect. When you honor, you respect. Submission, to take care of. So when you honor your mother and your father, you respect. There's no attitude. There's no smack in the mouth, right? Right? There's submission. You obey. And you take care of. What? I thought it was only the other way around, where mommy takes care of me. No. You take care of. Isn't that beautiful? You also do the same back. You take care of your mom. You take care of your dad. It goes as a relationship does. Let's look at this word, so. So your days will be long. The word so is a conjunction. Yeah, that's true. It combines two ideas together. But when you look up the word so, it says, for this reason, obey and honor so. For this reason, you will obtain long life. The word so also means in order that. It also means as a result. You take the action to honor your parents, and as a result, your life is long. Long until you die? No. Yahweh is forever. This long life is eternal life. Eternal life. Now, a lot of times, you know, when we watch all of the Hollywood movies and we're stuck on fantasy or things that we're taught, we think honor is, oh, you must do something so great, like bowing. Every time you see your mom, you're like, I'm sure. No. Or kissing the hand or kissing the feet. You know the way they do out in the world? No, that's not showing honor. Honor is by doing righteousness. Doing righteousness. When you show honor to your parents, you are doing righteousness. You do what is right. And when you do what is right, as a result, you obtain a position in Yahweh's kingdom. You prove yourself trustworthy because you keep Yahweh's laws. Now, I don't know about you, but I got distracted when I was trying to find scriptures, and I was telling one of my sisters, you know, this in the house of Yahweh, because I can never stay put. I mean, I start reading, and all of a sudden I'm seeing, oh, well, that's a prophecy. Oh, well, look at so-and-so. He's the father of so-and-so. I mean, you know, it's like I just, like, get engrossed in it. But that is true. It jogged my memory, and I realized, wait, this does relate to my speech. Because in the scripture, it always says, Abraham was a so-and-so, and that person was a son of so-and-so. And you see this whole lineage of like fathers, mothers, and fathers, and mothers, and fathers, and mothers. But do you realize that that is why Hannah has such a great zeal to be part of Yahweh's plan? Just like your parents. When you do something that is righteous, they say, oh, that is so-and-so's child, right? They wouldn't say, oh, that is, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, well, who's the mom? Who taught her that? Who's the dad? Oh, really? That explains it, right? So this is the way the scripture is written. This is the way our book of life about us is written. This is why to give honor to your parents is to be righteous. Because, boy, I tell you, parents, when they see their children do something righteous, I mean, they just blush. They're like, look at that. They just did that. Oh, look at the award they got. Oh, look at the wonderful speech they made. Look at how much knowledge and wisdom they have in the house of Yahweh. This gives them honor. But Yahweh's plan is perfect because everything he allows us to experience here on earth is everything that he has in plan for us in his kingdom. The earthly parents we have is just this little tiny picture of the spiritual parents he has given us. Remember, Yeshua in Luke chapter 8, verses 18 through 21, and also for your notes, Romans 8, 15. Yeshua speaks about this mother, the spiritual mother being the house of Yahweh, and the spiritual father being Yahweh through adoption, spiritual adoption. So to honor your mother and your father, for us here, right, who are not just little children, but we're grown up now, we still honor our father and our mother, the house of Yahweh and Yahweh, when we make Yahweh feel pleased, when we have done our job, when we have done our work, and when we don't think that we're smarter than the teachings that's brought forth. Because it is dangerous grounds when children think that they are smarter than their parents. Because I have a question. Who taught you how to walk? Who taught you how to talk? Who taught you how to handle a spoon and feed yourself? Who taught you how to unlock the bathroom door because you locked yourself in there in the first place? Yes, I'm guilty of that. We hear the story all the time, right? But who taught you those things? It's very similar in the house of Yahweh, with the house of Yahweh as our mother. It has taught us so much. Yahweh has guided us so much. And we can't forsake that. Because just like if Yahweh allows your parents to pass away and rest, you know you're going to miss your parents. You know you are. It's not the same anymore. Same thing. When you leave the house of Yahweh, because Yahweh is not going to allow the house of Yahweh to be destroyed ever again, when you leave, you're going to miss your mother. You're going to miss your father. You are. You're going to miss them a lot. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that Yahweh made honor your mother and your father, the first commandment, with a promise. If you all please stand, I'd like to introduce you to our next teacher, who brings great honor to her mother and her father, our judge.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I have the honor and privilege to make an apology on behalf of Kohana DeBriel. She would like to apologize for leaving out part of her speech. She said, make sure and tell the people, oh, the comet was green with a purple trail. She said she is very, very, very young and she tends to forget at times. I would like everyone to take 2 seconds to write something in their notebook for me, please. I would like you all to write this. Everybody seen it? Okay. It says, I am one. Am I one? Please write that in your notebooks and I'll come back to it later. I was thinking this week that we tend to mark our lives with different events, right? Like births, like when we first got baptized, when we first heard the name of Yahweh. Those are major events in our lives and we tend to mark our lives with these events. We look We look forward towards these events as they unfold with excitement. In about 8 weeks, we have another event coming up. And it's a very exciting event for children, even adults. Picture in your mind all the preparation you have to do for this upcoming event 8 weeks away. All the food you have to prepare, all the clothing you have to prepare, having all your supply ready for this 7-day event. It's a very exciting time, and the children have a long list of all the junk food they can eat at feast that they cannot eat throughout the year. They look forward towards this. I look forward towards this event also, but to tell you the truth, at the end of this event, I do not look forward to the laundry, 7 days worth of laundry. That mountain I have to conquer, I don't look forward to it. But sisters, besides the physical prep work we have to do, we have to consider the spiritual prep work also. This feast, we should all aim to keep the feast without sin and with a sincere heart. I would like to speak on that today. The upcoming feast, 8 weeks away. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, found on page 890. And it reads, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." You notice that word there, sisters? Let us keep the feast in sincerity and truth. I want you to put emphasis on this word, sincerity. When you look up the word sincerity, it means free of pretense, of deceit, hypocrisy, falseness, free of that, proceeding from genuine feelings, genuine, real, true, and honest. That is the meaning of the word sincere, and that is what Yahweh would want us to do, to keep this feast without any hypocrisy, deceit, and pretense. And this word sincere originates from a Latin word, which I can't pronounce, and it means clean and pure. We can achieve this sincerity by keeping the whole law. Turn with me to Jacob chapter 2, verses 10. Jacob chapter 2, verse 10, found on page 958, and it says, "For whoever keep the whole law, yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all." So therefore, sisters, if we keep the Sabbath day, but yet we are guilty of not obeying those over you, you are guilty of the whole law. You cannot keep one without keeping the other, and otherwise we will fall short of the glory of Yahweh. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, found on page 883. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority from Yahweh." Except there's no authority except from Yahweh, and the authorities that exist are ordained by Yahweh. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of Yahweh, and those who resist will receive damnation to themselves. For rulers are not a terror to righteous works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is righteous, and you will have praise from the same. Sisters, when you say the word governing authorities, remember, it refers to your rulers, your captains, your priests, your judges, your kohanas, those set over you. That is the king, that is a pattern of the kingdom of Yahweh, to appoint captains over tens, over thousands, over hundreds. That is the pattern set long ago and is still instituted in these last days. You cannot be against the administration, sisters, those set over us, and expect to enter into the kingdom. You can't. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10, found on page 587. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it, sisters? I, Yahweh. Search the heart, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You will be rewarded, sisters, according to the fruit of your doings. Yahweh knows our hearts and our intentions. We cannot hide these sins, sisters. We need to overcome them. A few weeks ago, our overseer made the statement, "I believe Yahweh has made his selection," referring to the kingdom of Yahweh, referring to his family, his chosen ones. That woke me up when he said that. It got me thinking, am I one? Am I one of the chosen, sisters? Every day I have to ask myself, am I doing the things to be done to be one of the chosen? Was I chosen? You have to search yourself. Because remember, if you offend in one area of the law, you are guilty of all. We have to check ourselves every day. Sisters, only you can know yourself, because deep down you know what are your sins and what are your shortcomings. Remember, 8 weeks till the next event, 8 short weeks. Yeshua Messiah shared with us how we can ensure of being one of the chosen. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. At that time, the disciples came to Yeshua asking, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh?" Then Yeshua called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh." Have you ever thought what it takes, why he used the reference of become like a little child? A child is forever trusting. He believes without seeing. He rejoices. He is humble. He is content in the very little things. A child is faithful, and he has enough faith that will move mountains. That is why he used that term, like a little child. And we are to become like this. Sisters, I beg you to think long and hard about this one question. Am I one? One of the chosen, one of the many. And I'd like to leave you with a scripture, 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9, found on page 958. 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that you will show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sisters, it's only 8 weeks away for the next major event in our life. Time is short. We have a little more time to overcome these hidden sins, because Yahweh knows all. He knows your heart. And with this, I would like to turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom, you may be seated. The title of my speech today is Law and Order. And I'm going to be talking a lot about man's stupidity in making their laws, a lot about man's governments and man's government leaders. In the beginning, Yahweh told us to guard and keep his way. That's from the very beginning. He set laws, and he told us to guard them and keep them. And that's our job. How many of you have ever seen Lady Justice? You know what she has on her eyes? A blindfold. Because justice is truly blind, like they're blind, groping in the dark, blind. There's a sword in one hand, a scale in another, and she's blindfolded. And that's what they use in the courts of this world. Turn to Romans 1, 21 through 23 and verse 25. I'm going to be reading Romans 1, verse 21 through 23 and verse 25. It said, because that when they knew Yahweh, they did not glorify him as Father, nor were thankful, but became idolatrous, God worshippers. In their reasoning, and their senseless minds were darkened. So they once had light, and they became darkened. Because in order to become darkened, you had to have been in the light, right? When they knew Yahweh, that means that at one time they knew Yahweh, right? Now think about it for a minute. Professing themselves to be wise, verse 22, they became fools, simpletons. Verse 23, I want you to really listen to this particular word that I'm going to hit on. And exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible Father for images made to resemble corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. Exchange? How many of you have ever gotten something from a store and you had to take it and get it exchanged for something? Raise your hand. Okay, pretty simple thing, right? You got one thing, you go and you exchange it, and you get another, right? Now imagine mankind having the perfect, righteous laws, complete justice, and they say, I need to exchange this. Excuse me, you need to exchange this? Yeah, it's just not working for me. Yeah, I kind of want to do things my own way, so I'd like to exchange this. Yahweh, I can just see Yahweh saying, so you want to exchange perfection? Yeah, thinking so. And Yahweh said, okay, I'm going to give you over to this reprobate mind. Right? Now, I want you to think about that, because any time that we don't obey our own authorities and do the things that we're instructed to do, we're not guarding and keeping the things that have been given to us, we're basically saying, hey, Yahweh, I want to make an exchange. Now, that is like, you would never do, that is something we would just never do. We would never walk up to Yahweh and just say, you know, Yahweh, I just want to exchange this way of life for that way of life. But because of our actions and our choices, this is something that we sometimes do on a daily basis. Have you ever done it? Have we ever broken Yahweh's laws? Have we ever decided, well, you know, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that? We're exchanging. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of Yahweh for the lie, gods, goddesses, and worshipped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever, praise Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh. So they actually exchanged Yahweh for gods. And it all boiled down to choices, doing their own thing. I'm here to talk about the fact that we don't want to do that. I'm going to kind of get into a few things. I want to read some headlines, and I want you to remember that these are made by confused leaders who are groping in the dark, who have exchanged Yahweh's laws for lies. Here's a headline. Supreme Court declares same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. Now, everybody knows, and I'm not going to read it, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. We know the way we were supposed to go, but we wanted to exchange it because we wanted to do our own thing. So we wanted laws that are going to make us feel oh so good. Here's another headline. Weed is now legal. Weed is legal, but prior offenders won't be let off the hook. Laws change, and this is an excerpt from the article. Laws change, but punishments up to and including the death penalty remain for the prisoners convicted prior to this legislative reform. Though there's a certain cruel logic to this viewpoint, from a global perspective, it is an extreme outlier. The United States is one of the only countries in the world that doesn't guarantee what's called the retroactive ameliorative relief in sentencing, meaning when a law is passed to ease or eliminate some punishment for a specific crime, those already convicted of that crime don't necessarily receive that same relaxation of cessation of their sentence. So, you know, you got in trouble for having a little weed, and you're in jail, and then tomorrow they decided weed's legal. Hey, everybody, smoke some weed. You would think that they would let those people out because, I mean, it's legal now. You know, hey, everybody go free, smoke weed. But that's the confusion of man's laws. Yahweh's laws never change. They're perfect. You see, you can't change perfection, and you're never going to be on the floor of the Congress trying to decide, you know, hey, weed or not to weed, that is the question. No. Yahweh gives it in black and white. It is set in stone. It is forever. See, we don't change the laws so that it'll come into, like, our liking. We have to change ourselves to come into Yahweh's liking. Yahweh's image. Yahweh. It's all about Yahweh. Here's another one. This I gotta get in. I found this on an abortion blog. Now, you're gonna laugh, so kind of try to hold back the laughter here. It says, this I found on an abortion blog. Look at it like this. If a pregnant woman is driving a car and she gets into an accident and kills her baby, that could possibly be considered vehicular manslaughter. You know, you're driving down the road, I got a baby in my belly, you crash into me, my baby dies, vehicular manslaughter. You're going to jail, right? But now let's pretend that that same pregnant woman is on her way to an abortion clinic. I got a baby in my belly. I'm driving to the abortion clinic. You come in, you hit me with your car, the baby dies. But I was going to go kill it anyway, wasn't I? Her baby's killed, but in her anger, because she's mad at the person that hit her in the car, she decides she's going to charge that person with vehicular manslaughter of her unborn child, even though she was going to go and abort the child. In these examples, the law is attempting to state that the definition of a human life hinges on the mood of the woman that day. You know, I'm not going to have an abortion if you hit me and I'm pregnant. Vehicular manslaughter. But I'm going to have an abortion and you hit me and I'm mad at you because you hit me. Vehicular manslaughter. But if I don't care that you hit me because I was going to go kill the baby anyway, don't worry about it, buddy. Right? This is the confusion of man's laws. Do you see it, sisters? Do you see it, House of Yahweh? The point is that man's laws were created to protect people. This is still the same blog. From harm, from harming other people. The laws we have to attempt to say that the fetus is a human being and therefore deserves protection, but only if the woman decides that day that the fetus should be considered a human being. I cannot think of any other law that goes that way. In absolute terms, it would be like saying a child is only a human being if the parents love the child. That's man's law. Now, here's another headline. Bill, killing unborn could bring murder charges unless a mom or medical professional does it. That's a real headline in today's paper. CNSnews.com. Look it up. The confusion of man's governments and man's laws should make us see how important our job is of restoring Yahweh's laws to this world. Can you see it? And Yahweh's chosen us. We can't exchange Yahweh's laws. We have to guard them. We have to keep them. Imagine if we didn't like something that Pastor Israel Hawkins taught. He's up here teaching and we say, we're going to protest you, Israel Hawkins. And a big fight, a brawl, you know, comes in the sanctuary. Everybody's got their picket signs. We're outside not letting people in. That's what's going on in our governments right now. Do you see why we have to come into unity? Do you see why we have to pull together? Do you see why Yahweh is counting on us to do this great job? Do you see the importance of you being here right now? Our nation's leaders, they vote him in. And then once they vote him in, we want this guy. He's gonna change the world. He's in. We want him. He's great. Then he's in. We want him out. Get him out. He's not doing his job. We need him out. Get another guy in. We want this guy in. This guy's surely going to do it for us. He's in. Vote him out. Get him out. Let's impeach him. Get him out. Not here. Perfect laws, perfect government, perfect unity. That's what we're bringing, sisters. There's no unity in this world. We have the only laws that will bring perfect justice and perfect unity. Now, the house of Yahweh is the only true court of justice. And yes, you are standing in the courts of Yahweh your Father right now. These laws are righteous and they're sensible. They're common sense. And we can be a part of the most supreme court in the whole universe if we'll just endure until the end, stand in our place, and be with our pastor and overseer and stand in unity and support and uphold him. That is the government in these last days. Our great pastor, this great body that he's given us. But we're only a part of this body if we are in unity with the laws that govern it. So we got to work hard. We all got to work really hard. There's just a few short weeks. And I know we all want to be in unity and be in this government forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because it never has to end. Because it runs on perfection. And with perfection, there is no end. And may Yahweh bless you. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. I want to go back with us to our great overseers, the branch, his sermon dated 11:26. I want to remind you of something he said. While he was speaking, he gave us, I'm your last speaker, so please don't go anywhere. While he was speaking, he told us, he turned to Daniel, and he wanted to give us a definition of when the book of Daniel was written. He said, the book of Daniel was written about 534. And he continued to give us definitions of the number 534. And that was the date 11:26, Sabbath 11:26. And he gave us definitions, and he's reading the definitions, and he's going, and there are a lot of definitions. He's showing where Yahweh is in control. And Daniel saw the television and all different things, nice explanation. And then he said, when the phrase, thus saith Yahweh, is used, or rather, when the phrase, I am Yahweh, he used two.
He said, "Thus saith Yahweh." He wanted to show us, "Thus saith Yahweh," meaning, "Look, Yahweh has spoken. Thus saith Yahweh." Then he continued giving us different explanations. And then he used the phrase, "I am Yahweh." He said, when the term "I am Yahweh" is used, it's not just like saying, "Well, I am Lily." It's "I am Yahweh." He said, when it is used, it is a declaration. When the term "I am Yahweh" is used, it's a declaration. I said to myself, wow, what's a declaration? To declare the works of Yahweh's hands. What's a declaration? So, one morning, I'm hearing, he said, when the phrase "I am Yahweh" is used, it's a declaration. I'm hearing, "I am Yahweh, creator of all, ruler of all that exists, creator of life and holiness, perfection and righteousness. It was my plan from the beginning to create a righteous family, but man insists to go his own way, and that inclined me to say, come to me, I'll open your eyes, from your deception arise. Come to me, and this you will see, that I am he, your father." I could not believe my ears. You know where I heard this? On the radio. On the House of Yahweh radio, I heard this. I said, that's the declaration the pastor is talking about. It's a declaration. Do you hear it, great sisters? It's to let the universe know who Yahweh is. And who can stand aside Yahweh? Who can compare with Yahweh? There is none like our Father Yahweh, and there will never be one like him. Do you understand, great House of Yahweh? So it kept playing in my head, the declaration. I said, okay, what's a declaration? Then I heard this declaration on the House of Yahweh radio. So I said, let's look up declaration. A declaration is a formal, explicit, written statement or announcement. A declaration is a formal, explicit meaning clear and precise, no mistakes about it. Written statement or announcement. So I said, okay, let me listen one more, let me play it one more time. I am Yahweh. It's on the radio. I am Yahweh, creator of all, ruler of all that exists. Creator of life. Is this explicit enough? Creator of life and holiness, perfection and righteousness. Is that explicit? It was my plan from the beginning to create a righteous family. But man insists on going his own way, and that inclines me to say, come to me, I'll open your eyes, from your deception arise, binding Satan, so to speak. Come to me, and this you will see, that I am he, your father. Great House, was that explicit enough? Jump to 1217. And our great overseer said the word manual. You remember that? He said, somebody told me, it's in your note, He said somebody told me, check the date 1217. It meant Wooker, Manuel, and even said his mother said Womanuel. And wherever there's a manual, you remember that? There's a Womanuel to take care of the children. And his mother has her own vocabulary. You remember that? Or dictionary. Then somewhere along the line, he said, it's a worker. It's a worker. It's a group of people working in agreement to accomplish a task. So around this time, the women had a speech. And one of the great deaconesses, she used the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:18. She said, But Yahweh, this is just a hand, a baby's hand. But Yahweh placed the members as it pleased him, the members in the body as it pleased him. All the members working together. Children, what part of the body is this? But now Yahweh has placed the members, each one of them. But now Yahweh, the same Yahweh we spoke about, the explicit declaration. Yahweh has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleased him, Yahweh. Not you. As it pleased who? So who placed you here, you there, you here, you there, you here, you there, you here, you there? Who placed you all here in your positions or your places? Great Father Yahweh. Children, what part of the body is this? Does it have the sense of seeing? Can it run? So do you see how Yahweh, when he created the body physically, but the body, our body, but also he describes his work as a body, as our overseer said. So, you know, like when they're doing a drill and you have to run and get ready, and the instructor says, everybody over there, if you were just a hand, can you go? Do you think Yahweh made us wonderfully made? Every part of the body doing what she or he needs to do. Do you agree, great house of Yahweh? I may not be able to sing as high as you, but you can't wash dishes as fast as me. You see, each one of us assigned in the body as it pleased great Father Yahweh. So that's for the children. So I said, okay, children, give me one for the for us adults too. So I told them, children are very funny. And also they're very bold and they're great. So I said, children, I need to spray the hand. So this one said to me, all the spray we have is purple and green. I said, you want me to have purple people? We have green, purple and green people, purple and green. So I said, okay. Then somebody brought them gold, purple, green, gold, black. Okay, just spray it. It came out to this. A very unique color. So adults, each one of us placed in the body as it pleased great Father Yahweh. And you heard the declaration. Therefore, my appeal for us today, if Yahweh has assigned me to do this job in the great work, you this place as it pleased him, he is our Father. Do you think he knows precisely, perfectly well what he's doing? Do you agree? Do you believe it? So, children,
Don't forget. The great judge before us spoke and she said, children, honor your parents. Honor a part of the job that you must do in Father's great house. Adults, us, let's do our part. He said, quotes the great last witness, he said, a group of people working in agreement to fulfill a certain task. And then today, I'd like to end, just because of the fact that it stayed with me, just to end one more time with the declaration. Is that okay with you? The declaration of I am Yahweh. And if you know it, say it. The declaration of I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. The music. I am Yahweh, creator of all, ruler of all that exists, creator of life and holiness, perfection and righteousness. It was my plan from the beginning to create a righteous family, but man insists to go his own way, and that inclines me to say, come to me, I'll open your eyes, from your deception arise. Come to me, and this you will see, that I am he, your father. Praise Yahweh. And with this, we turn it over to the great priests of the house of Yahweh.